As our nation celebrates Veterans Day this weekend, I could not help but think of what the Bible says regarding being a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. All those who are in Christ Jesus are soldiers of the cross. And the Bible tells us what kind of soldiers we ought to be. And so I want to read a few texts to you tonight, and then I want to give you seven encouragements or seven expectations of those who are soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are in a war, and the war is not a physical war. The war is a spiritual war. And the longer I am a Christian, the more I see the intensity of the war. And the more I see casualties in the war, and the more I desire for true Christians to be alive and active so that they will not be casualty in this war. And so with Sunday night being, I'll call the core, the faithful, the backbone of the church, I want to encourage you tonight from this portion of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, and then a portion of Scripture in 1 Timothy 6 and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Again, the words of the Apostle Paul. Paul writing to Timothy. Paul says, 1 Timothy 6:12, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." And then 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul knew that he was in a war. And the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, wanted Timothy to know about the reality of this spiritual warfare. And he wanted him to know about the reality of this spiritual war so that he would not become a victim in the war against the enemy. That he would not fall prey to the enemy's attacks. And believers, let me tell you tonight, I am convinced that more and more we need to set these truths in our minds. We are in a war, and the war is fierce, and the war will not stop until Jesus Christ returns to take us home or until we take our last breath here on earth. We are constantly fighting a fight of good faith, as the Scripture tells us, and we need to know how to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So with these three texts as our foundation, let me give you seven encouragements to those who are fighting the good fight of faith. Seven encouragements to the soldier of Christ. Seven expectations of those who are soldiers of Jesus Christ. What God expects of us, who we ought to be as a soldier of Jesus Christ, and not only who we ought to be, but what we must do. The first in this is a soldier must fight. A soldier must fight. If we want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we must fight. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. And Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. And we might ask, what is the fight? What are we to fight against? Is this a physical fight? Well, no. Remember, Jesus told His enemies, Jesus told the men of His day, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. And He's referring to a physical fight. But Jesus says, the fight that I am in and the fight that my disciples ought to be in is not a physical one. It is a spiritual one. And that's why Peter is reproved when Peter takes out his sword and cuts off the ear of the servant of the high priest. Put up your sword, Peter, because we are not in a physical fight. We are in a spiritual fight, a fight for souls, a fight for truth. And as good soldiers, we need to be understanding of that. If we are not understanding of that, we will give ourselves to every issue of the world that is physical in nature and not spiritual in nature. I am all for upholding the morality of our land to an extent, but not to the extent where it minimizes the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can picket, you can uphold your favorite political party, you can emphasize right things, but that is not the end. We ought to uplift the person and message of Jesus Christ, because this is a spiritual message that liberates spiritually from the bondage of sin. And so just picketing against abortion is not enough. And yes, we would say there is a spiritual aspect in that, because the Bible says, do not kill. But we must not stop there. We are called to proclaim Christ, and the abortionist and the doctor will continue to do so until they are saved, until they're delivered from their evil acts. And so again, we see that the battle, the fight that we are in is spiritual. And so we need to understand that, and we need to fight spiritually. We fight against our enemies, the world, the flesh, the devil. We looked at last Lord's Day morning. We fight against false teachers and false teachings. And we do so that the truth of God might prevail. We do so, we fight, so that we might continue to walk worthy of the vocation that we've been called. But don't you might ask, and under this point, a soldier must fight. And you might ask, well, doesn't every soldier of Jesus Christ fight? The answer is a sad no. Not every soldier fights. Some are in their spiritual lazy boys, watching everybody else fight. Some are content to give way to their flesh, to give way to the devil, to give way to the world, because they do not want to exert the power to fight. And so Paul gives the command to young Timothy because there are some who have grown lethargic in the battle, in the fight. And one such person he mentions by name, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, is Demas. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas was in the fight, but he has chosen to throw in the towel, and he is no longer fighting the good fight of faith because his heart has been turned to the world. And we could say the same thing with Judas. And as since there was a time where he was involved in the fight. Now he was involved as an unsaved man, but the disciples did not know that. They thought he was a saved man. He preached the word of God. He prayed just like everybody else. But we find in Judas that he was not a true soldier of Jesus Christ. A soldier must fight. And true soldiers will fight. Now turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 20, if you will. Here is an encouragement. Here are some commands given to the people of God, the Israelites of old. Deuteronomy chapter 20, regarding battles, regarding fighting. Okay, now this context is referring to physical wars. But as we read the scriptures, we are looking at it in the spiritual context, seeking how it might apply to our life. And so we are looking at it with these lenses, and we're going to apply them to the spiritual fight. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. Why? For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Soldiers fight because God is with you and God has promised to fight for you if you rely on His strength. Now, from the human standpoint in this passage, when you go to battle and see chariots and horses more than you, a people, multitude, more in number, the natural response is to say, we're doomed. And the same is when we look at this world and we see the evil of this world and we see the Demases forsake Christ left and right. We're doomed. The world has more in number than the church. Well, don't grow weary. Don't become faint-hearted. The Lord's with you, and He will fight for you. Notice also verse 5. And the officer shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house, and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard, and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife, and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. And the same thing we read in Judges with Gideon's men. God tells Gideon, I want the faithful. I want those who are devoted. Send the ones who are fearful of heart home. And if it only means you have 300 men, I want the 300 faithful men because they are relying on me, and I don't want the faint-hearted to pull down the spirit of the faithful. Soldiers must fight, and they must fight faithfully, and they must fight for the Lord and in His strength. And we ought not to worry about those who may give up in the battle. Just as we see in John chapter 6, verse 66, there were many disciples following the Lord Jesus Christ. Those disciples become discouraged. They become offended at Jesus' words. And they leave. They walked no more with Him. And Jesus doesn't run after them, throw His arms around them and say, "Why are you leaving? We need you for the battle." No. He turns to the faithful and says, "Are you going to go away also?" "No, Lord. You have the words of life. And we are committed soldiers." Remember Peter's word. "We will even die with you and for your cause." We are with you. A multitude of soldiers left. Now you're left with just the core. But who turned the world upside down? The core. The committed. Those who were willing to fight. Jesus wasn't concerned about the numbers. And Jesus knew the power was not in the numbers. But the power was in the spirit, and the power was in the spiritual individuals. And so He turns to them, and they make a new commitment, and they carry on. And we see in Acts the world turned upside down. And so when we come across those who are fearful, faint-hearted, those who really don't want to be a part of the fight, oh yes, there is an encouragement. Oh, you're making a big mistake. You're going to stand before the Lord. You're going to give an account. Your testimony may be ruined. But we don't spend all of our time and energy worrying and fretting and giving ourselves, because God knows. And as we heard Dr. Goetsch tell us a couple months back, the Lord can save by many or by few. Soldiers must fight. Don't be a Demas. Don't throw in the towel. Discouraging times will come. But stay faithful and see how the Lord will work. The second characteristic of a good soldier is a good soldier must stay focused. 2 Timothy 2, verse 4. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath called him to be a soldier." Now, I have never been in the military, and I have never been in war. But I think I can safely say, when a soldier sleeps, when he is supposed to be on duty, there is great danger that can take place. When a soldier is too busy playing video games on his phone, when he is supposed to be standing watch and protecting his fellow soldiers, great things can happen. So a soldier must stay focused. And going back to Deuteronomy 20, that's why God gives the instructions. If their heart is on their vineyard, if their heart is on their bride at home, if their heart is on something other than the fight, just you have to send them home. Because the soldier needs to stay focused on the fight. And when our hearts and our minds are given to the concerns of this world, well, we're not focused on the fight. When we can watch hours upon hours of television and YouTube videos and movies and our brain is affected by these things, and we're not giving our hearts to the Word and to the service of God, we're not focused, and we're entangled with the affairs of this life, and we can fall. And Luke chapter 21, verse 34 tells us, Jesus says, "Then take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." And I believe the cares of this life can also mean that which is not sinful in and of itself. Be careful that you don't give yourself to those things in this life that are not necessarily inherently sinful, but something that you may give yourself to that keeps you from seeking the Lord and serving Him. We must stay focused. The Scriptures tell us to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, as we run this race with patience. As we fight the good fight of our faith, our eyes are to be on the commander in chief, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to set our affections on things above. Stay focused, because the enemy is alive, and the enemy, as a roaring lion, is seeking about who he may devour. Jesus told Peter, "Peter, be careful, stay alert, stay focused, because the devil wants to sift you as wheat." This is real. It's a great sadness when you see people once worshiping in the house of God, once serving in a ministry, taken captive by the devil. And influenced by the activities of this world. It's a great tragedy. But such realities encourage me to preach this even more so. So you don't fall. And so I don't fall. So we don't fall. A good soldier must fight. A good soldier must stay focused. A good soldier, number three, must be familiar with his weapon. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." I cannot remember the illustration fully, but I remember a Christian man once telling me that there was a military training center years ago that would have the soldiers blindfolded, weapons in front of them, and they were to disassemble and reassemble their weapon blindfolded. And they were to know their weapon thoroughly, by sight and without their sight. And as spiritual soldiers, soldiers of Jesus Christ, we ought to know our weapon. And what is our weapon? Not a physical sword, but a spiritual sword. The Word of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The truth of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." You remember Jesus, the prime example of a soldier. Now he gives us the example, Matthew chapter 4, of how we ought to fight the devil. When the devil came to tempt Jesus Christ, how did Jesus respond? By taking up the sword. Even Jesus, the Son of God, the God-man, he used the Old Testament scriptures. He lifted up his sword, and he diced through the lies and the deceptions of the devil. And so we need to be familiar with the Word of God, so when we are tempted, so when we are weak, we might fight And we fight with the truth because we are tempted by falsehood, by errors. So we need to know our sword. And so when we do not know the sword, when we do not know the word, we become susceptible in the battle. When we are not meditating upon it, when we are not obeying it, we become like Demas, and we start loving the things of this world. So a good soldier must be familiar. He must know his weapon. Number four, a good soldier must endure hardness. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Hard times will come to the soldier of Jesus Christ. God never promised a peaches and cream life for the believer. Benny Hinn is wrong. God never told us that things were meant to be easy, smooth sailing. We will endure hardness. There will be times where we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There will be times where our soul is downcast as David's soul was downcast. There will be difficulty. There will be suffering. There will be anguish. But the soldier of Christ must persevere through the dark storms. He must continue when he feels like quitting. He must carry on when he has no strength, when his heart fails him and his approach to the Lord and to the Lord's throne is something that seems like it constantly falters. He must continue to do so, realizing that He is strong and we are weak. And in our weakness, He is our strength. Christ never promised that the Christian life would be a life of ease. He told His disciples, "If you are to follow Me, you need to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow Me." Well, the cross involves death. A cross signifies agony, pain. There will be hardness as we fight. There will be days in which we wake up and we just want to stay in bed and cover our head with our covers. There will be times, let's be honest, I know we all have our halos on tonight. There will be times I don't feel like going to church. I think I need to take a break. There will be times we won't feel like reading our Bibles. We won't feel like praying. But we must persevere. Through hardness, we are tested. Job was tested. The Apostle Paul, tested. David, tested. Peter, tested. Through hardness, the hardness that we endure here, the difficulty, the suffering, the anguish, we're tested. Our sincerity is tested. Our faithfulness is tested. Our heart is tested. And through hardness, we grow. We grow. Why is it that soldiers, why is it that the military goes through basic training? And why do they continue to have training? You watch the videos. Some of their training is very, very difficult. Just watch the training of a Navy SEAL. Very difficult. And they put them in difficult situations for a purpose. But through that difficulty, through that hardness, through that hardship, what happens? They become stronger. They become better soldiers for the fight. And the training part is not a pleasant time. But all must go through that training so we can be made better soldiers. So a soldier must endure hardness. Number five, a soldier must learn to work alongside others. We want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We must learn to work alongside others. We must understand that we are not at war by ourselves. We need the encouragement of others. We need the strength of others. We need the assistance of fellow soldiers. This is how God has created us. This is how God has ordained the battle. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. A good soldier must learn to work alongside others. And if we cannot work alongside others, we will be defeated. Jesus sent his disciples out by how many? Two by two. Why? Because he knew the heart of man. He knew the discouragements that would come. He knew that we need others. A soldier needs a soldier. And isn't that an application of war? Soldiers are sent out in teams, in groups. Soldiers are those who have each other's back. One soldier goes in, the other one's watching security, watching for that other who is going in. Jesus established the church to strive together for the work of the gospel. So no man is an island. No man ought to fight the good fight of faith by himself without other believers, without other soldiers. And if we come to the point where we think that we can, we fall. And we will find ourselves defeated. That's all the one another's in scriptures. Love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, bear one another's burdens. We need one another. That's how God has instituted it. I can imagine going through this life, fighting the good fight of faith without coming here week by week, being encouraged by you, by having fellow soldiers let me know they're praying for me. I think I would fall. I think I would fail. I think I would grow even more discouraged in the fight. So a good soldier must learn to work alongside others. Sixth, let me go through these last two quickly. A good soldier must be bold. And we looked at this a couple weeks back. We need to be bold as a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Deuteronomy 20, send the cowards home. Gideon, send the faint-hearted home. Why? Because soldiers need to be bold. When they see a people more in number and mightier, they need to stand courageously, knowing that the Lord is with them and the Lord will fight for them. They need to be bold and courageous. Like David, when he went to the Philistines and the Israelites were shaking in their boots. And here's this young man looking around saying, I thought we had the one and only true and living God on our side. You guys are acting like a bunch of sissies. What's going on? And here's, Saul, David, you don't know what you're talking about. David's brother, David, pride has filled your heart. You need to just go back home with your little cheese and crackers. Actually, leave the cheese and crackers here for us. You just go back home and you tend to the sheep. David says, is there not a cause? This man's blaspheming the name of God. He's blaspheming my God. We're not going to have it. I'll go up with my stones and sling. You can just see the eye rolls of the Israelites. Oh, brother. And I can just imagine them. Oh, okay, well. this is going to be ugly. Who's going to scoop David up after he goes and dies against this giant? But David was bold. He was a bold soldier. Stephen, when he preached that day before Saul, before the religious leaders, he was bold. Good soldiers must be bold. They must stand up for truth. They must overcome fear, exercise faith, and they must say with David, there is a cause. God is worthy. God is worth it. We are going to stand. And then lastly, a good soldier, must remember why he is fighting. He is not fighting for his own glory. He is not fighting to be seen and known in the eyes of men. He is not fighting for fun, for entertainment. He is fighting for the kingdom of God. He is fighting for the spiritual freedom and well-being of others. He is fighting for the souls of men. And that's what persuaded David to get in there and fight. There's a reason to fight. Stop being cowards. You're diminishing the name of God and the glory of God. And these Philistines are laughing at us. And they're laughing at our God. And so David went, how? In the name of the Lord. He wasn't doing it out of any motivation, out of any selfish ambition. David wasn't saying, okay, here's my chance. Here's my chance to be on the Hall of Fame in Jerusalem. Here's my chance to be on the Wheaties box with my slinging stones. Here's my chance to be the bravest among the brave. Nope. That wasn't his motive. His motive was the glory of God. We need to remember why we are fighting. It's not so that our names might be published in the papers, so that we might be patted on the backs. We do not do what we do so our church can be known in this community and around the nation and world. Oh, Calvary Baptist Church is the greatest church on earth. No, that's not why we do what we do. We do what we do because it brings honor and glory to Him, and for no other reason. And let me conclude by saying, the good soldier does all these things. The good soldier is all these things by God's strength and for His glory. If the good soldier of Jesus Christ fights in his own strength, he will fall. He will fail. If he relies on his own understanding, his past achievements, and his opinion, he will be defeated. The soldier of Jesus Christ must obtain spiritual strength from the Lord. John chapter 15, we need to abide in the vine because through our abiding in Jesus Christ comes our power, comes our spiritual strength. And that's why Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in your own intellect. Be strong in your ability to reason. Be strong within your own boldness. No, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that is done when we humbly rely on Him each and every day in every circumstance. Lord, I am weak, but You are strong. Lord, I'm tempted, but You've made a way of escape. Lord, I cannot fight this one. You need to fight for me. And we cry with the psalmist, as I often mention, Psalm 115, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. We do it in His power, and we do it for His name's sake. And hopefully, when the battle is done, when we have gone through the war, when we have endured hardness, hopefully we can say with the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul started his fight. He was a good soldier throughout his life. And his testimony at the end of his life, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have stayed faithful. And now I'm going home. Hopefully, that will be our testimony.